Let's continue reading Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 12. Now, in this first section of Matthew chapter 16, the Pharisees and Sadducees together try to trip up the Lord by testing him and asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It is because we have taken no bread." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves? Because you have brought no bread. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Once again, let's consider a few background notes. The Pharisees and Sadducees were politico-religious parties in Israel that normally did not get along that well together. The Pharisees were the conservative legalists of the day, and the Sadducees were the theological liberals of the day. Now, when did legalists and liberals ever get along together? Well, the Pharisees and Sadducees found common ground here in opposing the Lord. And here in Matthew chapter 16, we see them ganging up on the Lord to try and trip him up by asking him to prove himself by showing them a sign from heaven. Now, back in Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees and scribes asked the Lord for a sign. Now here in chapter 16, the Pharisees and Sadducees asked the Lord for a sign. Now when they asked the Lord to show them a sign from heaven, verse 1, they were either hoping for some supernatural sign in the sky, or more likely, they were implying that they didn't believe that his earthly miracles were of God, and they now wanted a true sign of proof from heaven. Remember in chapter 12, they attributed his miraculous powers to Satan. So that may be the same implication here. Both Matthew chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 16, the answer to these skeptics was the same. There would be no sign given to these unbelievers except the sign of Jonah. The Lord, of course, was referring to his coming death, burial, and resurrection. Look back at Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 12, verses 38 through 40. Here in Matthew chapter 16, we see that the Lord also condemned these Pharisees and Sadducees for their lack of logic and common sense. Look at verses 2 and 3 once again. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." In other words, you know how to read your basic weather signs. How come you can't discern the signs of the times? What signs of the times was our Lord referring to here? Well, certainly included were the wonderful miracles that were taking place right before their very eyes. These miracles were right in line with the messianic prophecies. of the Old Testament scriptures. Certainly that's included here when the Lord refers to the signs of the times. The wonderful miracles that were taking place right before their very eyes. They were right in line with the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures. And then there was the ministry of John the Baptist, announcing Jesus as the Messiah. These Pharisees and Sadducees certainly knew of the prophecies predicting the forerunner of the Messiah. And they could not deny that John the Baptist was a prophet from God. Maybe the Lord is even indicating here that they should have been aware of the fact that the time of the Messiah's coming, given in Daniel's prophecy, had arrived. It certainly was easy enough to calculate. All of these were signs of the times that the Pharisees and Sadducees should have been able to discern. Now, do you know there are signs of the times today? Even unbelievers should be able to see and discern that the biblical signs for the Lord's return are taking place right before our very eyes. What signs? Number one, the return of Israel to their ancient homeland, predicted in many Old Testament passages of Scripture. Number two, the threat of atomic, biologic, and chemical warfare, as predicted in the book of Revelation. Number three, the Middle East crisis and the need for a treaty between many nations, as predicted in the prophecy of Daniel. And many more signs of the times. They're here. But people convinced against their will are of the same opinion still. Then and today, the blind and obstinate religious leaders of Jesus' day refused to discern the signs of the times, and they would not believe. At the end of verse 4, we read that the Lord left them to their unbelief and went away. Another indication that God would set Israel aside and turn to the Gentiles. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this first section of Matthew chapter 16. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, people of great faith do not need signs. People of great faith do not need signs. Beginning of verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. This, of course, was spoken to the unbelieving Pharisees and Sadducees, but certainly applies to unbelievers today. How often have you heard unbelievers say that if God would just give them a sign, they would believe? You heard that before? Listen, it's only an excuse. They wouldn't believe. If there's a willingness to believe, Scripture is all that is needed. Signs are not needed. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Remember the rich man in Luke chapter 16? He said that if someone were to rise from the dead as a sign, then his brothers would believe. God's answer was that if they wouldn't believe the scriptures, they wouldn't believe even if someone were to rise from the dead. The same is true today. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. You might be saying to yourself at this point that you would believe if you saw a sign, like the miracle of somebody rising from the dead. For you, this would be the sign from heaven that Christianity is true. Listen, someone has risen from the dead, namely the Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection of Christ is a well-attested miracle, and no one's been able to refute the evidence. The sign of Jonah has been given, but unbelievers still will not believe. The evidence is there if anyone is willing to believe. Now, there's a lesson here for believers as well. Great faith does not need signs. Human nature loves signs because human nature is sinful, and Christians still have the sinful nature. So we need to be careful because believers can fall into the trap of wanting signs. Have you ever wanted signs? Listen, God can guide you in your walk of faith in many ways. But wanting supernatural signs is evidence of little faith. People of great faith do not need signs. Doctrinal point number two, people of little faith do not have spiritual discernment. People of little faith do not have spiritual discernment. Why did the Lord say to the disciples in verse 8, "O you of little faith"? It was because they had no discernment as to what the Lord was talking about. He said in verse 6 that they were to take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The disciples here thought that the Lord was telling them not to buy literal bread from the unbelieving Pharisees and Sadducees. The disciples were way off the mark here. The Lord was talking about the false teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which propagated like leaven. The Lord had to rebuke the disciples for their lack of spiritual understanding and discernment. Verses 9 through 11, once again. "Do you not yet understand, or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Now, certainly there's a lesson in this for believers today. The disciples had saving faith, but they were rebuked for their having little faith as believers. All believers have saving faith, but many Christians don't show much faith in their walk of faith. You know, I've had Christians who have been believers for many years ask me the simplest questions about the Bible or about the Christian life. I mean, where have these people been? The answer is that they have not grown or matured in their faith. They have not spent much time in the Word. As a result, they are of little faith and do not have much spiritual discernment. How is it in your life as a believer? Does the Lord have to rebuke you for your little faith? People of little faith do not have spiritual discernment. And finally, practical application. How many more chances will you get? How many more chances will you get? The Lord gave these unbelieving Pharisees and Sadducees chance after chance to turn from their unbelief, but they would not. Ultimately, they lost their last chance and are in a lost eternity today. Are you here today as an unbeliever? How many chances will you get? You know, I know of a young man in New England who has had many chances, but is still an unbeliever. He's come to many Bible studies, but he's still a skeptic. He's been to a Christian camp, but he has never made a profession of faith. Last week, he was rescued from that tragic fire in Rhode Island. Right at the last minute, someone pulled him out from a pile of bodies near the door. One more chance. But as of right now, he's still an unbeliever. Again, I ask you the question here this morning. Are you still an unbeliever? The Lord loves you and died for your sins so that you could be saved. You know you've had many chances to be saved. The chances will not go on forever. How many more chances will you get?